Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. We welcome those who are joining us on the live stream, either at this moment, as some do, or later when they find us on the internet. We're pleased that you have joined us from wherever you are. This morning is the fifth Sunday of Advent. Advent's purple too, you know. It's the fifth Sunday of Lent. And we are moving our way inexorably towards Holy Week and Easter. The announcements for this morning have been before you on the screen and are in the bulletin, and I hope you've had an opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. The seasonal choir, or as we like to call it here, the Easter pickup choir, is beginning its preparations for Holy Week this morning following worship. So if you've ever thought, gee, I'd like to join the choir, but I don't want to make a commitment to every week, this is for you. You can join us in the choir room following worship to go over some anthems for the next couple of weeks. And once the next couple of weeks are finished, you're done. So we would appreciate anyone who'd like to join us and try out choir. You're more than welcome to meet us in the choir room this morning following worship. Next week is the quilt show here, so there's lots of volunteer opportunities for you. And all of those are outlined in the bulletin. But I was asked particularly to note that Cynthia Seguin is looking for men, stout-hearted men, to move the piano following worship this morning. So if you can meet, and strong women too. but the song goes, give me some men who are stout-hearted men, which is what I thought of. But anyone who wants to help move the piano is more than welcome to join at the front of the church immediately following worship. And just a reminder for elders, session will meet this week on Tuesday at 5:30. This is one of our earlier in the day meetings, so make note of that. And some information will be coming out for you to prepare later today or tomorrow. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his path.
The Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams in the Negev.
The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise.
Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
Hear God's response to us today in these words of greeting. You who I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. As we come in praise this morning, we sing the hymn, Holy, 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 not the one you're thinking of. A newer version of the hymn, set to a Hispanic tune. So it's one verse, so the words are going to be easy. You're going to know this hymn by the time we're finished. The choir will sing it through the first time, and then as you feel comfortable, you are invited to join us. We will sing it through two more times once the choir has sung. Our holy God has done so much for us. God has met us in the wilderness and called us out to be followers of Christ. Christ's journey took him closer and closer to Jerusalem and his sacrificial death upon the cross. We too are tasked with joining Christ in his suffering, yet too often we run the other way, desiring a life of comfort, of selfishness rather than selflessness. Knowing this to be true and desiring to be more fully united with Christ in both his death and his resurrection, let us confess our sin together as we come in prayer. Holy God, who brought your people out of the wilderness, who brought us out of our own wilderness, we confess that too often we do not recognize the work you have done in our lives. We fail to see the streams in the desert, the ways that you have provided for us. Forgive us for not seeing and open our eyes. You have called us. You have said, do not be afraid. But still we fail to trust you. We think we need to care for ourselves, to be self-reliant. So when you ask us to give of our time, we think we don't have any to give, and we ignore your call. We don't trust that you will provide. Forgive us for being afraid, and open our eyes to see your presence with us. When you call us to care for others, even in small ways, the kindness of a smile, the willingness to invite someone to sit at our lunch table, letting the car merge in front of us, providing a drink, washing somebody's feet. When you call us to care for others, too often we excuse ourselves and so miss the opportunity to be your presence in their lives or to see you in them. Forgive us for not caring, and open our eyes to so that we may see you in others. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. Who is in the position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. The new life has begun. Know that you have been forgiven and be at peace. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is number 475 in the Book of Praise. I am the church, you are the church. Number 475. Coming up. Janiah, Preston, come on. Jake, Ray Lynn. Hey, we got a crowd this morning. Who has something that is really valuable? Do you know what the word valuable means? Preston, you know what valuable means? What valuable means?
Something very precious.
Something very precious, that's right. And do you have something that's very precious? Something maybe you're saving for a special day? Anybody? Anybody have anything that's very precious? Janiah?
Family?
Family is precious, yes. Ray? Ray Lynn?
Jesus?
Jesus is precious, yes. Will?
Mary?
Mm-hmm. Preston? Some rocks you have at your house. I know. You know what? I have a son who has rocks, too.
Me too.
He's got geodes, and he's got fossilized wood, and he's dragged those rocks around with him for all of his life. Because that's just the sort of guy he is. He still has them. He's got, oh, what's the name for fool's gold? Pyrite. He doesn't have real gold, but he's got some fool's gold. That's right. Things that are very precious. And sometimes things are very precious because they're very expensive, right? So a diamond ring, very precious, right? Or bars of gold. I don't know if anybody's got any bars of gold in their sock drawer at home, but bars of gold, very precious. But sometimes things are precious because they're important to us. So you're right. Things like family and our faith is important because it's precious to us. It's very important to us. This morning, you're going to hear a story, and Willem got it right. We're going to hear a story about Mary this morning. Yay! We're going to hear a story about one of the Marys in the Bible, and you guys are going to hear it downstairs, and the thing that was precious to her, and what was precious to her was a bottle of special perfume that she uses, and she takes what's special to her, and she uses it to worship Jesus. And so our thing that we have to think about always is, how can we worship Jesus, and what are the things that are important in our lives, and how can we share them with others? And so that's what we're going to be hearing upstairs this morning. So you can talk to grandmas, grandpas, mums, and dads about what they've heard up here, and I know you're going to hear about it downstairs. So grandmas, grandpas, mums, and dads, you can ask them afterwards too. And we'll see you later. Should have glued their feet to the floor this morning. Friends, let us come before the Lord in prayer, and may we all have such passion to hear God's word. Holy God, as we come now to the reading of your word, we ask you to illuminate our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the light of your word brighten the Lenten path ahead of us as we journey in the steps of Christ toward the cross. Amen.
The first reading is from Philippians 3, 4b to 14. To know Christ and his resurrection. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal. But I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. The second reading is from John 12, 1-8. Mary anoints Jesus for his burial. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning in our gospel reading, we are given a rare glimpse into the private life of Jesus and his disciples. For most of the gospel stories that we read, Jesus is the center of our attention. And we interpret much of what Jesus says and does through the lens of his ministry to the world. But here today, we see something different. Here in the story that we read from, have just heard from John's gospel, Jesus is silent and unmoving until the very end of the story. As we draw near the events of Holy Week each year, the lectionary often shifts from the focus gospel for that particular year. This year, you may have noticed, we've been focusing on the gospel of Luke and begins to follow the stories from the last week of Jesus' life that are found in John's gospel. So we've shifted horses, if you will, this morning. And here we may, today is that shift point in the story of the life of the church. And John, the gospel writer, drops us right into the middle of a story. The passage today looks both forward and backwards. The dinner that is given in Jesus' honor is the last event before he will cross the Kidron Valley and enter into the city of Jerusalem, where he will be greeted by the crowds, opposed by the religious authorities, tried and crucified. And the dinner at which Jesus sits is given for Jesus because Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And the image that is presented to us this morning is this familiar family dynamic. We've heard about this family before, haven't we? Martha, the oldest sibling, rushing around, busy with her chores, making sure that everything is just right. No place in Scripture does it actually say Martha's the oldest, but we all know she's the oldest. Mary, as we shall soon see, once more sitting at Jesus' feet, worshiping him, and Lazarus, the younger brother, who sits quietly and says nothing in the story. And Jesus, uncharacteristically, is the unmoving guest in the feast. Jesus isn't teaching about the kingdom of God here this morning, or of compassion, at least not until the very end of the story when he's forced to intervene. Nor does Jesus perform any action. Note here in this reading for this morning, it's Mary who is the focus of our attention. In amidst the laughter of friends and the everyday tasks of hospitality, of serving and clearing dishes, you would be excused if you didn't see Mary as she moved from friend and host to worshiper. But there is that moment where Mary slips away, setting aside the serving trays and the ewers of wine, and returns with a most precious gift, this pound of pure nard John tells us, a small cruse of expensive perfume, from which she pulls the stopper and lovingly pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes them dry with her hair. While we may have missed her slipping away, the results of Mary's act of devotion were obvious to all. John tells us that the fragrance of the perfume filled the room where they were sitting. It was an impractical and an extravagant gift, which began a great controversy about how it might have been better used. And yet the question itself hangs in the air like the fragrance of the perfume. How are we to worship our Lord? Is our worship worth our best? It is a question that believers have wrestled with in every age. Through the Reformation, the Reformers thought that the worship practices of the then Roman Catholic Church were too ostentatious and too distracting from the word proclaimed, and therefore they rid the churches of all of the symbols that had been so prevalent in the previous church. In the day and age where we live in a very casual society. Young people don't refer to adults as Mr. and Mrs. anymore. Many young men have no idea how to tie a tie. They don't need to. They don't own a tie anyway. But that is a recent change within our living memory. I can remember when I was first in ministry, a man wouldn't think of coming to church without a jacket and tie on Sunday morning. Week in and week out, Reg Quinney and Jim Lewicki came dressed for church. But Reg was a farmer and Jim was an electrician. Neither of them would have worn a tie the entire week long. But on Sunday, they wore their best. Their Sunday best. Here in the gospel, Mary brings her best, her most precious offering to worship her Lord. Was it perhaps Mary and her offering that the hymn writer Isaac Watts had in mind when he wrote the closing stanza of the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross"? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. As Jesus stands on the far side of the Kidron Valley and gazes upon the glittering white stone of Jerusalem on the other side, he was fully aware of what lay ahead, of all that lay before him. And he references that reality in his response to Mary's gift. Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. Mary had kept this perfume for some special day. Had she perhaps bought it as a young woman to wear on the wedding day that had never come? Perhaps. But here it was, that we know, being used for an even more perfect gift, to anoint the feet of the one who had raised her brother Lazarus from the grave and who promised life to her as well. A present, far too small, in response to a love that demands our all, our soul, our life, and our all. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Once more, we turn in praise. And this morning, I have a vague idea that we've sung this hymn once before. The hymn is based on this story that we have read from the Gospel of John and is a gift to us from the Korean church. To My Precious Lord is the name of the hymn. It's easy because the first line repeats in the second line and the music is the same in the last line. So there's really one line, and then there's one line in the middle that's different. So you need to know two lines of music to make this hymn work. As we sing this hymn, you are invited to join as you feel comfortable. Let us stand and sing the hymn To My Precious Lord as it appears on the screen. As it is written in Deuteronomy, since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor. Through our tithes and offerings, we can give generously as Mary did and remember the poor. As we open wide our hands, we attend to Christ himself, who is present especially among those considered the least and the lost among us. Let us offer to God these gifts for ministry in Christ's name as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Abundant God, you cause water to flow in desert places. You give wine to flow at wedding feasts and food to feed thousands on a grassy mountainside. Your generosity astounds us and humbles us. We bow before you in gratitude and awe, asking you to receive what we have brought in response. May these gifts be a pleasing and fragrant offering for the sake of the world you came to save. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us once more join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. God of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you are full of compassion and abounding in mercy. We give you thanks that we dwell in the realm of your grace. You have passed over our sins in sending Jesus, and we have a glimpse of the new life through his days here on earth. When he was tempted, you ministered to him. You gave him authority to cast out demons. When he cried out for guidance, you heard him. He placed his life in your hands and now dwells at your side in your eternal kingdom. We live evermore with assurance that you will never abandon your people for that comfort. We thank you and praise your name. Hear us as we pray on behalf of those who for some reason cannot trust your benevolence, those who struggle in darkness and stumble through life, for they have not accepted your light. Help us to befriend them, to give them the sense to detect what causes their hearts to turn from you, and help us to deal sensitively with them and with the sources of resistance that keep them from embracing your gospel. We pray on behalf of those whom our culture despises, those who endure hardships that others inflict upon them. Through your Spirit, give them counsel. Enable us through Christ to bring them comfort. May we, like Mary, stoop to their need and anoint them with the balm of compassion and care. Empower us with the truth of Christ's resurrection, so that in sharing their suffering, we may lead them from despair to new life and hope. As we await your kingdom's coming, may we be persistent in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 367 in the Book of Praise, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee, number 367.
Sweet.
People of God, let us claim the freedom that Christ gives us by his self-giving love upon the cross. May he enable us to serve together in faith, hope, and love. And let us go in peace and serve the Lord. And may the God of love, who showed us love, strengthen us in our love for others. May the Christ who shared his life grant us grace that we might share with others. And may the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us, empower us to be Christ ambassadors wherever we go, to whoever we meet, this day and forevermore. Amen.